Dortman is Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. You can hear him 9 to noon across these very stations. And we did hear from him to start our show, as he had an interesting conversation with Jason Wilde around what they would do in the... it's not even a negotiation. It's a no-brainer. But we welcome in Tausch to have the conversation with us. What's up, old team?
What's good, fellas? How are we today?
I found it fascinating that when you offered Jason in the position of Goody, 52.5 with 75% guaranteed, he would franchise tag him. And I thought your K at the end of it was very telling. Is there any reason that you could get yourself to believe that there it is, that is the right decision for this team?
You're talking about tagging him?
Yeah.
So I understood Jason's point. And listen, I think where him and I had disconnect, it's, I think Jordan Love has been the starting quarterback now. He's had 18 starts regular season, 17 last year. And he's, finished the season as good as any quarterback in the league. So I think he's hesitant to say, well, we should pay him. He shouldn't be paid in the same scope as the Joe Burrows and the Lamar Jacksons and some of those players. And I think on the whole, I agree with him. He has not proven himself to that degree, but that's not how this whole deal works. You're next up in the deal. And if you're going to extend Jordan Love and pay him, yeah, the Packers are going to try to get him in the mid-40s. That'd be great. And it'd be awesome for the Packers and Packer fans because then they, can use that cap space. But Jordan Love's going to want to be paid the highest paid in the league. That's what his representation is going to want. Mm. And I'm guessing if Dak Prescott gets a new deal, it's going to be around $60 million.
So what?
Yesterday's price, yeah, that's what Dak's going to end up getting. It's going to be around $60 million. Yesterday's price isn't going to be tomorrow's price. And then tomorrow's price isn't going to be an et cetera, et cetera. It's going to keep going up because the salary cap went up 30-some million this year. That's not going to go down unless there's another pandemic. So this is the price of doing business. And the point I was trying to make, and I think it wasn't really about the numbers. It was about the belief in Jordan and whether or not you believe he's going to be your guy. Everything has a price, but I just look at where the Dallas Cowboys are right now with Dak Prescott. I want to avoid that. I know Russ Ball. I think he will avoid it. I think they will figure it out. But what the Cowboys did with Dak was – they always liked him as a quarterback, but they never really wanted to go there. They didn't want to pay him more than maybe he should have. But then in the long run, you would have ended up being in a better spot because right now, Dak Prescott is holding them over a barrel, and he's saying, you didn't want to pay me, and now you want me to give you a deal when you could have done that when I was not a proven commodity. That's what I want to avoid in this Packers Jordan Love situation over the next 18 months.
Well, Tausch, I think a lot of fans will hear, why don't you just franchise him? I mean, it's no big deal. Just keep him around for a little bit longer. The Packers stay in control. I personally have never heard a single player be happy with the fact that they get franchise tagged. Could you just explain what goes on in someone's psyche like Jordan Love when they hear that they're going to get franchise tagged and not extended?
Yeah, what it means is that you're not quite sure. And there's always a money deal. Money is always going to rule everything when it comes to sports and negotiations. But from a player standpoint, if Jordan Love gets franchised, he'll probably make $48-49 million, which in everybody's world, that's awesome. But if he gets a contract and gets 50% of his contract guarantee, he's got to have $125 million. There's a little bit of a difference. And then you have to prove it again. You have to show that you can stay healthy, that you can have another big year. And then if you do that, you should get paid off more. So what the Packers are going to have to look at, yes, they could tag him and say, we'll go year to year. We got you on a really nice deal next year. What they'll probably do is use that as leverage to get him to take less than the 55, 56, which is the top dollar for quarterbacks. But what you want to avoid is a player being bitter. You want to avoid all of that contention. There's going to be some anyways, but what you're telling that guy is we're not quite sure. And at other positions, you can do it. Quarterback, you have to have these guys being a part of the deal. And when you don't do that, it takes a special cat to just move forward and say, yeah, no big deal. Well, it's just business. It's just the price of doing it. And that's what I think you have to balance that if you're a Packer front office member.
See, this is my thing, Tausch. I'm trying to figure out. You just said we aren't quite sure, right? That would be if the Packers wanted to franchise tag him. But what is it about Jordan Love's performance which leads people to believe that we still need to see more? That we're not convinced that we should be signing him as our franchise quarterback? I'm just lost on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's the. I think the Packers have been abundantly clear that they want him back, just like they wanted Aaron Jones back. But that's all cute. It comes down to, well, how much do you want him back? And if Jordan Love says, I need to be at $56, $57 million per year, then all of a sudden the Packers are looking, I don't know about that. We have you for a franchise tag and whatever we're paying you next year for $50 million over 2 years. We'll just play this out. Well, you can do that. I don't know if Jordan Love will go along with that. There's all these other things that you go with. And the same thing with Aaron Jones. They thought they'd get Aaron Jones back at $4 million or $5 million or whatever it was. And at some point, Aaron Jones was like, nah, man, I don't want to go anywhere, but you kind of forced my hand. There always comes a point in all those negotiations that you have to figure that piece of it out. It doesn't mean you don't want him as a franchise quarterback. What it means is I don't want to pay top dollar when I don't have to. And that's what's going to be. I don't think this is going to be an overly complicated, tricky, lengthy negotiation. I'm sure they're already talking about it. I just wonder from Jordan's standpoint, you had a great second half of the year. Cap's going to continue to skyrocket. Do you want to sign a deal, a five-year deal, at $45 million a year, and then in 2 years you're the 15th highest paid quarterback? Because that's what you'll be if you end up doing that. And you know what? It's really easy from the outside to say, you can't do that. But when somebody comes calling it with and says, hey, man, we're going to give you $150 million in guarantees, that's a really hard pill to say. No, I deserve more. That's a hard thing to kind of get your head wrapped around.
Talking with Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher here on Kyle Brustenortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Tausch, I'm intrigued. I'm not sold, but I'm intrigued about the Chicago Bears. Are they actually onto something? DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen with DJ Moore. They signed Gerald Everett, I believe, at tight end. But like with all those things I said, with Caleb Williams potentially coming in, hasn't their like offensive line been an issue and they didn't really address that? Like, are they onto something?
I think they're starting to build it. They took an offensive tackle last year early, and he looks like he's a pretty good player. And I would bet that at the number 9 pick, they will go offensive tackle again and try and, you know, let Caleb Williams, grow and try to have as good a protection as they can to make, you know, him have the best chance to be successful. But, I'm now of the belief, Goody and the Packers have made me firm believers in sitting a rookie quarterback at least half the season. Unless it's something crazy, I don't know if you're ever, you know, you want to see these guys develop. And the fact that they just gave Justin Fields away when they could have kept him and let him grow and let him play and do what he's going to do and see where that team is, I thought that was a big mistake on their part. And whether or not I'll be right, I don't know. Maybe Caleb Williams will come in guns a-blazing and, you know, as a rookie, just light the league up like C.J. Stroud. But I know this. I just saw a list of those quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett and that whole crew, from that first-round class of 2 years ago. There's a lot of failure that happened in that time frame, and a lot of guys got called into duty a lot earlier than they probably should have. And I would think if the Bears blow it on Caleb Williams and he's not the guy, you're going to be having these same conversations in 3 years. And the Bears will probably be back to square one.
Tausch, I've been thinking about asking you this question for a full week now, and it sparked my mind because of last week when everything happened with Aaron Jones and the fallout of, you know, the Packers debatably undercutting him and him going somewhere else, and Devondre Campbell's tweets from this weekend. You know, there's this narrative out there that the Green Bay Packers sort of do their veterans dirty, and like they don't respect them, and you know, there's just the ruthless approach to older players, dating back to even Aaron Rodgers cutting or referring to all the times that they let Jordy Nelson go, and all these guys along the way. I mean, you wore the green and gold. Do you think that the Packers are overly ruthless with their older veterans, or do you think that's just part of the business?
It's part of the business. I would like to sit here and say that it's overly ruthless. They have a philosophy, and their philosophy has been proven to work more often than not. I mean, I can go through a list of guys that didn't get that third contract, and everybody said kind of the same thing you just said there, Nordy. And in 2 years, you're looking at like, oh, Ted got it right. Yeah, Goody, he got it right. He didn't pay those guys. And the bottom line is there's just there's no good way to end this. Like, there's just not, unless a guy's content retiring. If a guy feels like he still has something left and he feels like he gave the organization everything and the organization said, I'm sorry, we appreciate everything you've done, which is what the Packers do, but we just need to move on. We have to get younger, and we think we can get, you know, get the same production or better on a lesser deal. That's the cold, hard business of this game. So I don't necessarily know. They give nice shout-outs. They give Twitter shout-outs. They give press releases. I don't know what else they could do. I mean, you have to keep the main thing, and that is making your football team better. Now, Jason would argue that there's a few players that, you know, maybe Jordy would be one, Aaron Jones would be one, that he's still super productive, and you could have figured out a way to keep him, but you have to stick to what your principles are on running a successful team, and if that's how you've done it, it's really hard to go. They tried to bring Aaron Jones back on a very small deal, let him finish his career in Green Bay. Aaron Jones still wants to go out and prove himself and pick it. And that's where you have a strong-headed, competitive cat on an organization that is looking at it and trying to do right, but understanding that it's probably just going to be ugly, and it's usually only ugly for about 6 months, and then you end up retiring a year or two later. And I said this last week. Almost every Packer player that leaves comes back and raves about how great the organization is and retires as a Packer. And there's a reason for that, too.
Yeah, I don't think Devondre Campbell would be doing that, and I don't care about it either way.
Yeah, he's only been there. He's only been there a few years. Yep. Devondre Campbell, I think that's a whole nother category.
I'd love to get into that with you. But before we let you go, I do want to know the moment you knew you were getting old.
Oh, you watch it on film, and you know the big thing for me was you just can't stay healthy and trying to practice.
I'm talking about life, but you're going football?
Well, I'm going football too, but life, when I am having a hard time standing up after a pickleball game because my knee is completely locked up, and then I sleep, my shoulder that I had surgery on, I feel like there's just these two big red, like, inflammation. You see those commercials?
Yeah,
for, like,
the red area that's heat mapped.
It's real life, and you feel it just in those spots that you've had surgeries on. That's what, when you're getting to the point where playing pickleball is becoming a big battle, that's when I started realizing that old T's getting to be old T.
Are we not allowed to do this later, guys? Because we were going to talk about the moment we knew we were getting old, but this makes me feel like we would be disrespectful to the actual elderly like Tausch.
Oh, wow. Elderly day.
What is it that you did that's making you feel old?
I mean, having the kid has made me feel old. I can't do it. Like, if I have a sip of alcohol,
dude,
I'm hung over the next day.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
34? Get out of here. Oh, my God.
I'm sure you felt a certain way at 32.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, but he put in perspective, like, I see the old people commercials of the red spot on the joints, yeah. And I'm literally picturing his knee and his shoulder, and I'm like, ah, man, that's happening to old T.
Yeah, it's definitely happened to old T. There's no doubt about that. And it only continues on, especially if you have put yourself through it a little bit. I can't imagine. I've always was, you know, in awe of watching a lot of the Lombardi Packers when we see them at golf tournaments and stuff. And they're out there, you know, just grinding to get to the cart. You're kind of like, hope that ain't going to be me. And then you start looking at it, and it's like, man, that's going to be me.
Well, at least you're in a comfortable home because Brad's going to tell us about the great Gina Della from Pella. But thanks, old T.
You got it, guys.
Yeah, you know, Tausch loves Gina Della from Pella. I love Gina Della from Pella. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is the best. I think Ben Brush just bought a new house. I think he might be loving some Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin as well. That's because we love it, because it protects you from the harsh Wisconsin elements. I see snow in the forecast. It's going to be cold, hot, cold, hot. It revitalizes the look of your home, increases your home value, decreases your energy costs. There's so many reasons to replace those broken windows and doors. And now is the time to finally get it done. You know who you are. You've been thinking about it for some time. You see the doors, you see the windows, and you say, I actually need to finally do this. Wait no longer. Because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is offering a special deal until March 31st. You can get 0% interest. That's right, 5% interest for up to 3 years with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You get your Pella now, and you get to pay later. That's for 3 years, in fact. I still don't understand how they can offer the 0%. That is doing you a favor. I promise you that. Order by March 31st to get 0% interest for up to 3 years. Set your free consultation at PellaWI.com.
More Kyle Brustendortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere.